Titus chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Amen. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And tonight, I'd like to preach on the subject of grace, the grace of God. And we learned, just by way of introduction, we learned from several preachers here that grace is divine enablement. Amen. And grace is when God divinely enables us to do something, whether that be in salvation or in service or in sanctification or whatever, whatever God enables us to do, He divinely enables us to do that. That's the grace of God. We're saved by grace through faith. We're saved by His divine enablement. When Tracy was saved a few minutes ago, she was saved because of God's divine enablement. And think about that while I go through this sermon. We'll go through this chapter very quickly. I'm not going to spend much time on the first few verses, but you see there's something for everybody in Titus chapter 2. The beginning, it says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." And then he talks about in a verse 2, he talks about aged men. And then in verse 3, he talks about the aged women. And then he talks about the young women. And there's some things there that we could talk about, but I won't talk about being obedient to their own husbands, because I only have 10 minutes. Then it talks about the young men. I should have been sober. "Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded." So you have aged men and aged women and young women and young men. And then servants. Servants, then down there in verse 9. He talks about all these things, all these different groups of people, something for everybody. And then he says at the end of verse 10, he says that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. When we think about the grace of God tonight and His divine enablement, number one, I'd like to think about the adorning of the doctrine of God. When you adorn something, you make it look pretty, right? When somebody's, when they adorn themselves with a necklace, a lady wears a necklace, she's making her neck look prettier, right? Looks prettier with the necklace on. And we need to make the gospel of God, the doctrine of God, look good. Amen. We need to make people think good things about the Lord. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." We need to live in such a way that Christ would be glorified and that we adorn the doctrine of God. The church and God is getting laughed at by the world. And they laugh at us because what we say is not the same things as what we do. We say, "Oh, you need to have church. You need to be in church. You need to get closer to God." But then we close down church on Sunday night because it's a Super Bowl, or we do whatever. We put up a big screen and watch a football game instead of hearing the Word of God preached. Is that right? The church is getting laughed at. God, more importantly than that, God is getting laughed at. We say, "I want my friends to get saved." We say, "I want God to do something in my family. I want God to do something in my life. I want the power of God to fall on me tonight." We say that, but then we live like the world. We live like everybody else. We need to adorn the doctrine of God. We need to make people not laugh at God, but love God and want to get closer to Him. I'm not saying that we need to tickle everybody's ears, and I'm not saying we need to go down the street and ask people what they want in church and what they would like for us to preach or what kind of music they would like for us to have or when they would like to be able to come, whether it be Saturday night or Sunday morning, or, you know, we can't give a whole day to God, God forbid. You know, we don't need to do that, but we need to live in such a way that Christ would be glorified. And the way we're going to live in a way that Christ would be glorified, number two, how am I doing? Number two, not only the adorning of the doctrine of God, but the appearance of the grace of God. The only way that we're going to be able to live in such a way that we can adorn the doctrine of God is because of the appearance of the grace of God. The Bible says in verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Grace does things. It does two things. Grace brings salvation. That's saving grace. Amen. Saving grace. Jesus broke down the wall. By the way, it appeared to all men. All men. That means everybody. That means aged men, aged women, young women, everybody, servants, everybody can experience the grace of God. That means Jew, Gentile, skinny Italian kid from Plant City, Florida, or hillbilly from Tennessee. Hillbilly from Tennessee. 10 minutes. Only got 10 minutes. Anybody can get saved. Anybody can experience that saving grace. Jesus broke down that middle wall of partition, Ephesians says, and He broke it down and He made salvation free to all men. Everybody can get saved. That's saving grace.
Amen.
Saving grace. Then there's sanctifying grace. There's sanctifying grace. The Bible says in verse 12, He teaches us. Grace teaches us. Teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We should deny some things. We should deny ungodliness. Ungodliness isn't just a wicked, something wicked like some of these bars and things like that. It's not something wicked like some things you see on TV. It's not wicked like that necessarily. That is part of it. But it simply means to refuse anything contrary to God's will. Anything contrary to God's will. When the preacher when God was dealing with the preacher about coming down here to pastor this church, leaving Double Springs, it's not a bad thing for you to pastor Double Springs Baptist Church. Amen. Not a bad thing, but it's not the best thing, because God had him down here.
Amen.
God needs him down here. So he had to refuse a good thing in Double Springs and take the right thing, the godly thing,
Amen.
To come down here and be the pastor of our church. We need to refuse anything contrary to God's will. We need to deny worldly lust. Refuse to desire anything that has the character of this present age. Don't be like them.
Right.
We're different. We're Christians. We've been saved. We've already received saving grace. We're different than they are.
Amen.
We're already trying to adorn the doctrine of God. And now we're looking at the appearance of the grace of God. So it's the divine enablement for saving grace and for sanctifying grace. That not only does it teach us to refuse some things, but it teaches us to choose some things. It says we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
Amen.
There's some things we shouldn't do and some things we should do. It doesn't only teach us to choose the good from the bad, but it teaches us to choose the best from the good.
Amen.
Not just the bad, the good from the bad, but the best from the good. That's what grace teaches us.
Amen.
So we have saving grace and sanctifying grace. We need to adorn the doctrine of God. We need to accept, and we need to see the appearance of the grace of God. But something else that the grace of God will do for us is it'll help us anticipate the coming of God.
Amen.
We should adorn the doctrine of God, and then we see the appearance of the grace of God, and we should anticipate the coming of God. If you haven't received saving grace, if you haven't seen the appearance of the grace of God, you're not going to anticipate the coming of God. You're not going to want him to come.
Amen.
I've given this illustration here before. One time when we lived in Tennessee, Beth came down to Florida with my mom, and I don't know how many kids we had. I think one. Whatever. We got four now, in case you didn't know. She came down here, and I was up there by myself in Tennessee, all by myself. And she said, I'll be gone a week, I'll be back Saturday, and the house better be clean when I come home. And so Friday night, on the way home from work, I still hadn't cleaned the bathroom or the kitchen or the living room or anything, really, from the front to the back. And I hadn't. Dishes were in the sink. Flies. No, not really. But no flies. It was fine. No flies. But it was dirty. And I knew that she'd be mad if she got home. I knew she'd be mad. And I got to coming home from work about 11 o'clock Friday night, and I thought, whoa, what if she came home early? She said she'd be home Saturday. But what if she came home Friday night? And I just could see me walking in that door and her standing there with the broom about to hit me with it. You know? I didn't anticipate her coming because I hadn't set my house in order. I hadn't done what I should have been doing. I didn't anticipate her coming. I didn't want her to come. I didn't look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of Beth, my wife. Because the house wasn't clean. And when we're not saved, when we haven't experienced a saving grace, and we're not growing in God and growing in grace, and we're not anticipating the coming of God. We don't want him to come. And we're certainly not anticipating his coming if we're not saved. See, if we don't have Jesus in our heart, we can't be spiritual. We have to be carnal. And the carnal man doesn't look for Jesus to come. Now, I lost my place in my notes. How many minutes do I have? Without God's saving grace, we cannot be spiritual. And if we're not spiritual, we're carnal. We won't care about God's return. We won't care about Jesus' return. But God's grace divinely enables us to anticipate his coming.
Amen.
We won't dread it because we have the right relationship. We won't dread it because we still have fellowship with God. Grace is divine enablement. And if we are going to live the way we should, if we're going to be the Christians that we should, if we're going to make the difference in this town, in this neighborhood, in this city, in this state, in this country, in this world that we need to make, then we've got to adorn the doctrine of God. We've got to live in such a way that people will glorify God, see our good works and glorify God. We've got to see the appearance of the grace of God and accept his saving grace like Tracy did a few minutes ago. And then we also need to learn that he teaches us some things and see that sanctifying grace. And then we've got to anticipate the coming of God. And we'll only do that with God's divine enablement, with the grace of God.